Greetings from upstate New York. Welcome to the Pastor Duke Podcast. I'm so glad you're listening in. I hope that what I share with you will thrill your heart. It surely thrills mine. I've been a prophecy junkie now for going on 50 years. What I've got to share with you today is absolutely profound, so hang on. Are you ready? Here we go. I call today's lesson The Russian Connection. If I did not know the scriptures, I don't think I could listen to the news. But when you know God's historic plan for the ages and you watch the news, you see it all fitting together as the prophets promised long ago to the letter. The news troubles me, but the prophecies comfort me. Today we focus on the Russian connection, which takes us back 2,600 years to the prophet Ezekiel. We're in chapter 38. God's Holy Spirit allows Ezekiel to look down through the quarter of time and see huge geopolitical alignments and a coming war against the mountains of Israel. It clearly gives us the time frame. Verse 8, in the latter years. Verse 16 again, in the latter days. The scriptures promise a catastrophic war at the end of the age we commonly call Armageddon. There are three decisive battles revealed in Scripture within the greater global campaign of Armageddon. Daniel 11 mentions the defeat of the kings of the south, which I will soon do a podcast on, which many believe to be an Islamic caliphate, the kings of the south. This battle seems to be in the early half of the seven-year tribulation period. Soon to follow, the defeat of the kings of the south will be the second decisive battle, will be with Russia and her allies, which is our focus now, Russia, the Russian coalition. Then at the end of the tribulation is the biggest and final battle with the hordes of the east, an army of 200 million marching in from China to the plains of Megiddo, where God does his final earthly judgment. I've been to that battlefield numerous times, looked out over the plains of Megiddo and realized what lies ahead, what blood will be shed in that place. Satan and all his Western forces, along with China, are destroyed at Armageddon, the final battle, and Jesus will be gloriously inaugurated as King of the earth and set up his 1,000-year millennial kingdom, where paradise lost in Genesis will be the paradise regained we see in Revelation. All heaven breaks loose on planet Earth, I can only imagine. But now we focus on the second battle of the Armageddon campaign, Russia. Isn't it interesting that the prophets of old would completely unfold the geopolitical world we live in 2.5 millenniums from when they wrote? What we see is what they said. Let me say that again. What we see today is exactly what they said would happen. In the time of the end, we would see the ancient Roman Empire nations revive, come back together. We call that the European Union, the European Community today. That happened in 1969, only 24 years after World War II. Who'd have thunk it? Well, according to Daniel chapter 2 and 7, this is the political entity that would give rise to the infamous Antichrist. The Western power, the genetic descendants of Noah's son Japheth, which was prophesied to be the one son that would have the greatest power, and his brother's descendants would not appreciate that at all. That was given in Genesis chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, projecting the future of the three major races of planet Earth. All of this fulfills itself in Armageddon campaigns as the descendants of Shem and Ham fight unsuccessfully against Japheth's descendants in the West. One may ask, well, which one is the good guy here? Answer, none. They're all under the control of the evil one, and they will all lose to the captain of our salvation. So we look closer to this Russian connection and the second main campaign of Armageddon. Ezekiel 38, verses 1 and 2 say, Now the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against them. Before we identify these people, we first clearly see they are the enemies of God's agenda. They are clearly the enemies of God's agenda. They are coming to fight against and to destroy the nation of Israel. Gee, like that's never happened before. How many times through history has Satan tried and failed to destroy Israel? Israel is why the kings of the south rise up. Israel is why the great bear of the north, Russia, comes down with her allies. It's where the hordes of the east will come to for their final defeat. Israel is always the key. Israel is God's hourglass. All we have to do is to get clarification on all these people groups in Ezekiel 38 is, number one, go back to the biblical genealogies, and number two, go back to the ancient maps of the world. Scholars do not disagree. Gog is Russia. Meshech is Moscow, and Tubal is Tobolsk, today in the southern part of Russia. Ezekiel was told to prophesy against them, verse 2. God said, I am against you, verse 3. I will defeat you, verse 4. In verse 4, it is clear that they are a great army and well-armed. Think about that for a moment. Russia, a great military power, was a historically laughable statement for the first 2,500 years after Ezekiel wrote it. It wasn't until Stalin in World War II where Russia was anything more than a fly on a military wall. But that all changed mid-20th century and World War II. Russia became a military power. I grew up fearing Russia. We were taught to hide under our desks at school to protect us from a Russian nuclear blast. Oh, that was real comforting. The name Nikita Khrushchev sent shudders down my childhood spine. But Ezekiel prophesied Russia to be a major military force in the end times political arena. And she is. And today, his promise is fulfilled to the letter. Next, we see in the text the nations who will align with Russia. Now, mind you, when I first read Ezekiel in 1972, none of these nations were aligned with Russia. They were all aligned with the United States. Verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. First, we look at Persia. Today, it's called Iran. My first 6.5 years following Jesus, the Shah ruled Iran. They aligned with the United States. Gasoline was 25.9 cents per gallon. But February 2nd, 1979, he was deposed by Ayatollah Khomeini and the modern Islamic revolution was on. We had our first gas lines ever in the United States. Gas prices doubled. Persia will line up with Russia. Cha-ching, fulfilled. Number two, Ethiopia. Haile Selassie was emperor of Ethiopia, born July 23, 1892, died August 27, 1975. He was warmly allied with the United States. I met missionary friends back in my Bible college days that knew him personally, had lunch with him, were brought into the royal premise. They loved him, and they say you and I will spend eternity with him. He was wide open to Christian missionary activity. I believe he's in heaven. But all that changed soon after his death. Communist forces took control of Ethiopia, and alliance was now with Russia. Cha-ching, we see that fulfilled. Number three, Libya also was an American ally. We bought our oil from them. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi had gained control in 1969, and U.S. relations deteriorated with them quickly. With the Islamic fundamentalist revolution, Gaddafi turned away from the United States completely, began to purchase MiG fighting jets from, guess who? Russia. Cha-ching, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, all lined up with Russia. Hey, I pay you 10 bucks if you can properly spell Muammar Gaddafi. Actually, there's 10 different spellings for that, and I bet none of them are right. Do you get this? Is this sinking in? You wonder why I'm such a prophecy junkie? I saw with my own eyes these huge prophetic fulfillments before my very eyes during my first 7 years in my journey with Jesus. Man, what an incredible Bible God gave us. He told us the end from the beginning. Now we get to the good stuff. Verse 6. Gomer and all its troops also will align with Russia. who the heck is Gomer? I would note that Gomer was separated in this text from the original list of Russian allies. So we got to go back to those ancient genealogies again. Gomer was the eldest son of Japheth. The eldest son of Gomer was Ashkenaz. Aren't you glad your name's not Ashkenaz? In Genesis chapter 40, the children of Ashkenaz were identified later as the Scythians, then after the 11th century with Germany. Gomer is Germany. Man, this sure wasn't fitting in at all. Germany is one of the strongest countries in the European Union, which is the economic outpour of NATO, which primarily exists for the very purpose to defend itself against Russia. How could Germany be aligned with Russia in the time of the end? That would mean Germany and U.S. relations would need to pretty much break down. Well, guess what? When President Trump held NATO nations accountable to give their measly promised 2% of their GDP for military defense, Angela Merkel from Germany didn't like that a bit. Midsummer 2020, as in just a few months ago, Merkel and Vladimir Putin confirmed the controversial Nord Stream 2 pipeline to start operating despite U.S. sanctions. Merkel also announced that Berlin will soon host Libya's ceasefires to help bring an end their civil war. She also opposes the United States sanctions against Iran. Oh my! A huge, unexpected European Union political shock just months ago. But no, absolutely no surprise to that old guy Ezekiel. He called this German switcheroo 2,600 years ago, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Prophecy given, prophecy fulfilled. Reading the prophecies is like reading your morning newspaper. To those who can remember reading morning newspapers, boy, that's been a while. So they give us the who, Ezekiel 38, the nations aligned with Russia. We have the when, clearly given twice in the last days. I see it just before the middle part of the tribulation when Antichrist rises from prominence, the first 42 months of the tribulation, to power, the last 42 months of the tribulation. I'll come back to that in a moment. Now we see the where in verse 8. After many days, you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come back. Remember, the Jews were scattered throughout the world, the diaspora, the wandering Jew. You will come back into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. There we see the where, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Are you connecting these prophetic dots? After nearly 2,000 years of desolation, the Jews will be back in their homeland. That happened in 1948. Jerusalem will be retaken. That happened in 1967. Where they dwell safely, the text says. Where they dwell safely. Now, putting another layer of scripture on top of that, from Daniel 9:27, we see the first order of Antichrist's political agenda will be to sign a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. Antichrist is now responsible for the defense of Israel. That would tell me to expect America to little by little turn away from Israel. When Trump is no longer president, I think Israel is going to be skating on thin defensive ice. There is a temporary peace brought by the Antichrist, and that's why they dwell in safety, it says. Then all hell breaks loose with this second huge war in the tribulation. Russia and her allies come down from the north, purposing to destroy Israel and resist this Western global leader, the Antichrist. Reading through the entirety of Ezekiel 38 and 39, it is clear that Russia and her allies will be soundly defeated, but even more importantly, supernaturally defeated. The Bible says their weapon systems will fail. The Bible says there will be weird, horrific storms that will come upon them. Their weapon system fail. Their military machinery gets bogged down in the wilderness, and they wind up destroying themselves which is exactly what happened numerous times in God's Old Testament defense of his people. It's going to happen again. God himself will destroy them with supernatural evidence. God did that again in more recent days. God said by the prophet Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 3, that when the Jews come home in the latter days, all the nations of the world would fight against Israel, and all who fight against Israel shall be cut in pieces. It was against all odds that the Jews would survive those early years of their rebirth, their War of Independence in 1948, another war, 53, 57, the Miracle Six-Day War in 1967, the Yom Kippur War of 1973, all Israel's enemies were cut in pieces. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. The world will be anxiously and nervously watching, you know, as in every eye shall see. Now stop with me for a moment and put scripture with scripture with scripture. Here's what you get. Let me put it in chronological order. Number one, Antichrist becomes responsible to defend Israel, Daniel 9:27. He seems to be their long-awaited answer man. But in the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years into that treaty, he turns on them. He, whom they thought was their answer man, turns out to be their greatest enemy. He's going to make Adolf Hitler look like a decent guy. Number two, mighty Russia and her allies attack from the north. Number three, the Russian coalition is supernaturally defeated. Number four, the world is watching via media technology. Number five, let's add in a new scripture, Revelation 13:5. This is huge. It ties it all together for me. Here we go. So they worship the dragon, that's Satan, who gave authority to the beast, that's the Antichrist. And they worship the beast saying, look at what they're saying. Who is able to make war with him? Who is able to make war with him? Why would they say that? Methinks they see the supernatural judgment of God and falsely interpret it, thinking it was the Antichrist's supernatural abilities destroying Russia and her allies, when in reality, it was God. The Antichrist takes the glory which would belong to God, and takes it upon himself. The world is watching. When they see what they see, they say, who's able to make war with him? I remind you, this is the man who soon sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The world population sees what they see. They say, who's able to make war with him? They buy in. Hook, line, and sinker. Later this same chapter, the Antichrist unleashes the mandatory mark of the beast. He's now in full power, but praise God, only for 3.5 years. Man, it all fits together like a glove. The nations are aligned. The Russian coalition is in place. The Jews are home. Jerusalem is retaken. The technology is here for every eye to see. The software is here for the cashless society. The mark, the chips, all here. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things, know ye that my coming draws near. While the world events are freaking people out all around us, we Bible people know exactly what is happening. We know why it is happening. We can see how it is happening. The one thing we do not know is the day or the hour, Jesus said. Man, aren't you glad to own a Bible? Read that thing. Study it out. It's got good news. Aren't you glad to know the world is not falling apart? It's all coming together as Jesus said it would as we approach his soon return. Man, I'm glad Jesus knocked on the door of my heart. I'm so glad I opened it June 18th, 1972. Have you opened the door of your heart? It's so simple. Would you humble yourself as a child? Get on your knees. Confess that he is Lord. Would you put your faith and trust in him that he died upon the cross for your sins? He was buried. He rose again the third day to prove that he was God. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's coming again to take you home, but you got to do your part. You have to get with it. You got to give your heart to him. You need to be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. Hey, he's done all he can do. The rest is up to you. If he knocks, open. If he calls, you come. Thanks a lot for letting me share God's word with you. As always, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your hand in the plow. Look to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll bring it to pass. Hey, don't forget, Jesus loves you. He's big and he's good. I love you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.